look up to the mountains? Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Welcome. Thank you for logging on for the midweek prayer and Bible study service this Wednesday evening. Looking forward to coming back together here as soon as the things kind of come into line. We're certainly praying about it and looking at it. I definitely miss speaking to a congregation instead of to empty pews and John behind the camera. Although he smiles and he responds, he seldomly nods off. I think we're doing pretty good, but I miss having our church family here, and so I miss you. Well, let's open up our service with a word of prayer, and then we've got some songs that John and Sandra Jo's going to play the piano, and John is going to play the guitar. Last week, I asked you to get back with us on the proper pronunciation of guitar, and not one person helped John and I out with that, so it's still an open debate. So if you have any access to text or email, go old-fashioned, old school, call John on the phone, whatever, but help us to put that to rest so we know what to call it from now on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come, we can worship you, we can learn from your word. Lord, we do thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, our church family. I do pray that you would be with me as I preach your word this evening or teach the Bible study, that it would be the Holy Spirit that guides and directs in all of that. And Lord, we are so very thankful for the way you do provide and watch over us and care for us, and we rest in you. Please give us wisdom as we look at when to come back and do in-place, in-person services. We thank you that the COVID numbers are coming down in our area. We thank you that the vaccines are increasing, and hopefully, Lord willing, we're going to see this thing start to calm down and pass by the wayside as the months go by. We just look for you, Lord, to be at work in all of those things. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Good evening. Let's lift up our voices in singing tonight. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords. Together, Lord. Lord, bind us together. Lord, bind us together with love. There is only Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. He'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart.
Thank you very much, Sandra, Joe, and John, for that great music. And I just am going to touch on a couple things real quick as far as announcements go. We want to keep in mind that there are several Zoom ministries going on for the ladies Tuesday nights and also the boys and girls Wednesday nights. I know John, just before we have this service, he has his teen Zoom meeting. And is having pretty good response of teenagers linking on and doing the Zoom with him. And so moms and dads, your boys and girls, Saturday morning, there's a Bible Club Zoom with Fonda Butoff. Be sure and tune in with that. And then also, we have the Awana 3rd grade through 6th grade, I believe it is, that Ashley and Ann Messenger are working on as well. So link into those things. If we don't have your email, we can't send you the bulletin, and we can't send you the links for those Zoom things for the children or Sandra Jo's Bible study. So let us know. We do get the calls pretty regularly of people who want to be added, and we would be very happy for you to be added if you're not on that email list. Other than that, just remind you to please be in prayer for the officers, as at this time we're scheduled to come back together on the 14th, that Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Sit down, talk about all that's going on with the Addison County and surrounding counties. So pray for your officers, pray for your deacons and your trustees, that they would be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that each of us can make a decision about coming back to worship together. I know that I get regular phone calls, me or Sandra Jo, and we are regularly hearing from our church family that is asking us to please come back to in-house worship. That is coming. We're just working through some things. So be patient. Other than that, I really don't have any other announcements. At the end, after the sermon, we'll touch on some prayer requests. We do have some pretty serious prayer requests for this week. We're going to turn it back over to Sandra Jo and John. They're going to play and lead us in song on Jordan's Stormy Banks and Jesus Draw Me Ever Nearer. So sing at home. Enjoy it. I hope and pray it's a blessing to you.
Good evening. Welcome back. Let's continue in singing on Jordan's Stormy Banks and in Jesus Draw Me Ever Nearer.
Spirit, stayed and sure, when the man
Thank you very much. That was great singing. That's always a blessing. We are blessed as a church to have people who are willing to help minister in song. We are going to go into the Bible now. We're going to go to the book of Jude. As you know, on Wednesday nights, we've been doing a Bible study through Jude, verse by verse, breaking it down, looking at it closely. And this evening, we're actually going to be dealing with verses 12 and 13 in the book of Jude. Only one chapter. So even though every once in a while I'll get a little mixed up and I might say chapter one, there is only one. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13 tonight. Now, Jude really focuses in on apostasy, people who have rejected God, rejected the things of God. And we have a lot of imagery written in this book. Contemporary with 2 Peter, 2 Peter actually references many of the same things. There's been much discussion among biblical historical scholars as to whether 2 Peter was written first or whether Jude was written first, because they for sure are kind of referencing each other as they go down through. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13, and what we find Jude doing under the inspiration of God is he is going to give us some visual images to help describe apostates, apostasy. Listen to verses 12 and 13. I hope you are reading Jude. Each week you should read the whole book so that when we come in on a couple of verses like this, you're understanding it in context. So listen to verses 12 and 13. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wow, those two verses, quite the powerful imagery as he describes apostates or apostasy, and he uses common things that they would see around them that they might understand this imagery, this picture language that he's using. They're in the first part of verse 12, and there's basically five of these that we're going to look at. We're going to look at spots, clouds, fruitless trees, wild waves, and wandering stars, all of those in verses 12 and 13. The first one he talks about, he says these apostates are spots in your feasts of charity, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. So what is he referring to when he talks about spots in your feasts of charity? The word charity in the old English, 1611 English, is love feasts. And the love feasts are really the Lord's Supper, communion, coming together. When you go to the book of Corinthians, you find that the Apostle Paul addresses the church in Corinth because they had allowed the Lord's Supper to degrade into things that they were not meant to be. And so here Jude is also connecting and he's referencing. He's saying these people who come and take the Lord's Supper with you, and they do that without faith, they do that without belief. He says they themselves come and feed among you, feed with you without fear. When we do the Lord's Supper, we do so as a time of meditation, contemplation, reflection, as we really look at the price Christ paid for us, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood. We take time to meditate, think about our sinfulness, bring it before God in prayer, confess it before him, that we might partake of it worthily. Here, he's saying, these apostates, these non-believers, these people who are not conforming to the will of God, these folks who go ahead and they take godliness and turn it to ungodliness, he says, they come to the Lord's Supper and they partake of it, they have no fear of God, and they are as spots in the Lord's Supper, in that feast, that partaking of that reflection in the broken body and shed blood of Christ. So the word spots there in the Greek language, he's using a word that really references a stain or a contamination. It would be kind of like at your house, if you were to open up a loaf of bread, and if you were looking on that white bread and you saw some green mold on it, that is a contamination, isn't it? It's a spot that defiles that bread. Maybe that happens to you with cheese. You know, the kids, when they get a slice of cheese out of the little brick of cheese, they get their hands all over the other cheese. And then in a little while, you see spots of mold that are growing from that contamination. Those spots that were put in there through little germs. Well, he's saying to you and I that apostates who come in without the fear of God, without the faith of God, and they come in and they join us in the Lord's Supper, he says, those are spots or stains upon our Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, but when Christ saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Well, that's what these folks are like. These apostates are sheep without a shepherd. They're not anchored into the Lord Jesus Christ. They are wandering about. Christ has compassion. God so loves the world, he gave himself for those souls. But the reality is they are apostate. They have rejected the truth. So again, verse 12. It says, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. It's interesting that he uses that word, feeding themselves. It's reminiscent for you and I to think back in the scriptures where people did whatsoever was right in their own eyes. They fed themselves, they took care of themselves with no regard to God. And certainly right here, they come in, they partake of the Lord's Supper, but they do it with no regard for fear and faith in the Lord. Let's go down to the second part of verse 12 there, and I want you to see he uses the sky, clouds. Listen to what he goes on to say. I'm going to read all of verse 12. These apostates are spots in your feasts of charity or love when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit there withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So the second thing we see him talk about are clouds. He says, these apostates, these people without faith, without the fear of God, he says, they are as clouds that are without water, carried about of the winds. Again, you want to think back to a time when these people largely were agriculturally based people. Even though some of them would live, say, in the city of Jerusalem, the vast majority of the Israelites were nomadic people. They were herdsmen, or they were farmers. They farmed the land. They grew grapes or they grew olives. Yeah, they were farmers. They grew crops to feed their animals or to feed themselves. Well, one of the things in Israel and the whole Middle East is a lack of water. There's not a lot of rain that comes. When they see clouds upon the horizon, their hope rises. Especially before you had Channel 3 News where you could tune in and find out what the weatherman has to say. The only newsman you had, the only weatherman you had, was your eyes upon the horizon. And they would see a bank of clouds riding in upon the winds, and they would have hope of rain to replenish their cisterns, to refill their streams and rivers, to fill the Sea of Galilee, to go ahead and water their crops and their animals. And they're saying an apostate is like somebody who rises up as if they hold hope, but they contain no rain. They're just blown about of the winds, and they offer nothing of substance. Proverbs 25, verse 14 says, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." And that's what apostates are. Apostates are people who say, "Well, I know. Let me philosophize with you. Let me contemplate things that I know nothing of. Let me consider spiritual and deep truth, even though I do not know God." He's saying they're like clouds that contain no rain. They offer hope, but they contain no hope. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the apostle, under the inspiration of God, he warns all of us, beware of those apostates who are like a cloud. Beware of those false teachers, those false prophets. We see it all the time in the day and age we live in. People who rise up and they say they know the truth, but they contain no truth. They're like a cloud that has no rain. They offer hope, but they contain nothing that is going to meet the need. He comes down in verse 12, and we have the third one that we're going to look at. Listen at the very last part of verse 12. He says, "These folks are trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." I want you to look with me, if you would, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, because I want to take you to an example of an event that took place with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 21, he was walking along. He was a hungered, the Bible says. And we find what he does with a tree that should have fruit, but it offers no fruit. Look with me if you would. Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to read to you verses 18 down through 20. "Now, in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered up. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon this fig tree withered up," or withered away. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came upon this fig tree, and it was in the season for figs. And as he approached the tree, thinking him and his apostles, his disciples, they could partake of the fruit upon the tree. And he gets there and it's empty of fruit. It only has leaves. It's barren. And he says to it, "You will never bear fruit again. Nobody will ever eat a fruit of you." And he puts upon it a curse and it withers. In fact, I believe it is in Luke, in that text, it talks about that they see it the next day on the journey back by, and they look, and it's withered from the roots up. It's dead. It's dry. It has accepted its destiny of being desolate at the curse of God. You and I, in our lives, we have to understand when those apostates make out like they have all that we need, they offer the hope of a cloud with rain, or they offer the hope of a tree with fruit. But then when you actually look and see and examine, you find it has nothing to offer. That is what false teachers are. They're like a fruit tree that has no fruit. They're like a cloud that has no rain. They're like a blemish, a spot, a contaminant. We have to beware of those apostates. And that's exactly what Jude is saying to all of us. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." It's somewhat reminiscent of the Lord Jesus Christ teaching you and I that he is the vine and we are the branches and we can bear no fruit without him. Well, here he says, "That which is not of him shall come to destruction." And he'll go on farther. In fact, he builds in these two verses, drawing us farther and farther in to understand that God will bring them to punishment, to destruction. We definitely live in a time when people mock and scorn punishment, mock and scorn consequences. Nobody should ever experience consequences for bad behavior in the society we live in today. They make out like nobody's responsible. Well, that's not the way the Bible treats it at all. The Bible clearly teaches that when a person is apostate, and when they are that prophet who says they have truth but they contain no truth, we're going to see he builds towards showing that judgment that will come. He gives us another visual illustration as we come down, but this moves on into verse 13. Listen to what he says in the first half of verse 13. "They are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame." I love the ocean myself. I love to go and just sit at the side and listen to the waves roll in. I love to go fishing on the ocean. I try to go twice a year. I try to go deep sea fishing, and I try to go striper fishing once a year if I can. And as we get out on the boat when we're going deep sea fishing, we go 15 to 25 miles off the coast. It's about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minute ride. And even when it's rough, I enjoy it. I like it. I like the sound. I like the feel. I like the smell. But I have anticipation. I'm going out there to fish. I'm hoping that I'm going to catch that haddock, that flounder, or cod, whatever it is that we're going to go out far enough and go down and we're going to fish for. Apostates are offering nothing. They have nothing to give. Instead, they are merely empty, crashing waves that are foaming out nothing to be given in return. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." God says that's what the wicked are like. That's what the apostate is like. It's crashing waves that offer no hope of catching the cod or the haddock. No hope of providing anything for you or your family. Just constant crashing, foaming waves. I want you to look with me at Ephesians 4:14. I touched on it when we talked about the clouds, but I want you to listen a little bit more. We're going to read the verse again, Ephesians 4:14. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Hereby they lay in wait to deceive." You see, if we're not careful, We become like that person who's tossed to and fro, not just in the winds of our time, but in the crashing waves of our time. A couple years ago, our family, myself and Sandra Joe and Joe and Joy and Josh and Ashley, we all rented a house down by the ocean, and we all would just go and hang out and enjoy the sun. And my daughter's very nervous about her kids. And I told her, I said, well, listen, I'll take the older boys down and just let them kind of play in the waves. And she told me, Dad, keep a close eye on them, because you know me, I'm going to let one or two drown here or there. And she wanted to make sure, she clarified, Dad, keep a close eye on them. So I determined, okay, I'll go. I won't even swim. I'll just go down there. And the boys wanted me to come out, so I left my glasses on. I walked out there, and they're hopping the waves. As the waves come in, they jump up, and I'm standing back far enough to keep an eye on them. Sure enough, doesn't a big wave come and hit me and knock my glasses off of me? Not even swimming. It just knocked the glasses off me. Well, I reached down, believe it or not, I found the glasses. And I brought them up, and as I brought them up, the lens popped out of one side of the glasses. Can you believe it? So I put on my glasses with one lens and one non-lens, finished watching the boys and the older boys playing in the surf. Searched and searched, of course, no way you're finding a clear glass lens in the ocean. But you know, that wave that hit me, it had nothing to offer me. It robbed me of my lens. Well, we have to beware that we're not tossed to and fro, that we're not robbed of that which we value. We must beware of the apostate and their foaming, crashing, and it's interesting as he describes it, even bringing forth that dirt, that mire that is referred to in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. So Jude, under the inspiration of God, warning us that they can, apostates, non-believers, can be a spot, a contaminant in your midst, warning us that they offer us nothing, just like a cloud without rain, warning us that they are like a fruitless tree, a tree that should meet a need, should help us to be sustained, but it offers us nothing. And it's like that wild wave, that crashing, rolling wave, prevents us from being able to harvest fish, knocks our glasses off, steals our lens, doesn't offer us anything. The last one, he leads us to the place of punishment. Listen to what he says in the last part of verse 13. I'll read all the verse though. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That is quite a powerful image. Again, remember the day and age that they're living in. They're not living in a time when there's great, vast light pollution. We live in Vermont, which is a relatively unpopulated state. In fact, it seems to me, I read a thing that said, we are the second least populous state in the nation. It's not a lot of people, is it? I think it's a little over 600,000 people for the whole state. So you and I, when we go outside in the middle of the night and we look up into the sky, oftentimes we can see very well the stars if there's no clouds, especially during the coldest, coldest nights of winter. But if you look a little north from where I am, you look that way, you'll see a little dome of light over Burlington. That's called light pollution. That robs you some of the clarity of stars over in that direction. In their day, there was no light pollution. Even a city like Jerusalem was only lighted by candles and oil lamps. So when they looked up into the sky, when they looked up into the stars, they could see the shooting stars. And here, God says, these apostates, these individuals that offer no hope, they offer no rain, no fruit. Instead, they are destructive as crashing waves. He says, these folks are like those wandering stars that you see shooting through the night. And what is reserved for them? The blackness of darkness forever. It's a pretty powerful image. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12 says, the children of the kingdom, and it's talking about the kingdom of the earth. He's doing a contrast in this text between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth. The secular, the carnal. He says, the children of the kingdom of the earth shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 22, 13, it says, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this, of course, was a lesson on the kingdom of God versus that which is carnal, that which is apostate, that which is God rejecting. Matthew 25, 30 says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So when we come to Jude, and when we come to the end of verse 13, and he tells us that the apostate is as those wandering stars, and for them it is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. He is talking about that punishment of that eternal hell, that eternal separation from God himself. I was reading some notes in one of the Bibles I have, and it was talking about the black holes that are in the universe when they scan with their massive telescopes. And this particular text said, who can know? Only God knows what is at the backside of those black holes. What is contained in those black holes? Only God knows. When he talks about the apostate being cast into and having reserved for them the blackness of the darkness forever, where there is gnashing and weeping. You and I, as we look at these texts, we understand that Jude is pulling no punches. God is not sugarcoating anything. He's giving a clear contrast between those who know and love God and those who would speak lies, those who would deceive, those who would say they have truth but have no truth. And he says, they themselves, they have a reserved place in utter darkness and blackness where there is that wandering, wailing, gnashing of teeth forever. We, you and I that have put our faith and trust in the message of God, in the truth of God, in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have for us, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, a reserved place in the Father's house. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would tell you. And he says, I will one day come and bring you unto myself, that you might abide with me forevermore. We rest in that truth. We need to reach out to those who are unbelievers, non-believers, even during this time of COVID. We have to share the hope of Christ. They might mock it, reject it, despise it. But we must never stop offering to give the message of hope. For we would not want to see our neighbor, our coworker, our relative, our friend, cast into the utter darkness of hell We would want them to be embraced through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and do our prayer requests before we have a word of prayer and close. I do want to mention for you to please pray for John Bigelow. He's getting ready to have a surgery this week. Both knees are going to be partially replaced. So pray for Brother John Bigelow if you would. And then also Shirley Amblow, Kim Ram's mom. She is getting ready to have some tests done. She's having some abdominal pains. They're wondering if it's like gallbladder stones or something. So they're trying to figure that out. And then pray for our church. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for Mary as she has lost Rudy. And that's a hard, hard thing to lose your mate. I ask you to pray for Mary. And then, of course, pray for Anna May. Anna May is battling cancer. We need to lift her up in prayer. Let her know that we are thinking of her. Send her a note. Encourage her. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed on this Wednesday night. Father in heaven, I pray that you do be with these prayer requests that I lifted up before you. Lord, John Bigelow going in for surgery, I just ask that you would give these surgeons wisdom beyond their skill, as only you could guide them. That this might be a tremendous success. I do pray also for Shirley as she's going through this time, this pain. Help them to find out what is causing this. Lord, I certainly lift up before you Anna May as she deals with this cancer. Please be with her. Help her to find, and I know she has, great peace and trust in you. She is at peace. When I talk to her, she's at peace with you, Lord. Please continue to comfort her. And I pray that you be with Mary. I do ask that you would comfort the hole in her heart as her husband has passed away and it leaves such a massive void. I pray that you would help fill that with your presence, your comfort. I thank you so much that her children have been so faithful, her grandchildren, in ministering to her and loving her. And I pray that you'd continue that. Lord, I do ask that you would be with us as a church, as I get phone calls and texts and messages wanting us to return to worship together. I pray that you would give wisdom and leadership, that we would know exactly the right time. I pray that you would have our church family be faithful to come together in a safe manner until we can get past this COVID situation. Lord, I pray for you to intervene. Help us to have no more outbreaks within our church family. I pray that it would be you that would protect us and watch over us. Lord, I ask that you would help this vaccine to have greater efficacy than even they think it has. And we just look forward to the days when we can come back in full ministry. People can come back to their full jobs. People can enjoy their neighbors, their friends, their family, their community without restriction. We look to you, Lord. We're being patient and waiting on you for these things all to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.